Hello, and welcome to The Screamcast, a slasher podcast. I'm Dan.
And I'm Olga, and today we're discussing Scream Queens Season 2, Episode 3, entitled Handidates.
Very exciting. Handidates.
How topical.
So, before we really get into things, I just want to quickly say we are using a new microphone setup this week, which we've never used before, and hopefully it'll make things sound way better, but who knows, because tech issues, you know? Gotta learn these things.
Yeah, so basically we're doing this once, and whatever this turns out to be, it's what you're hearing now.
So hopefully it's good. All right, general thoughts on Handidates?
I think it might be my favorite episode of Scream Queens.
Ever?
Yeah.
Wow, that's cool. Yeah, it was definitely one of the best, for sure. It was definitely the best of the season so far.
So far. I mean, that was three episodes.
Yeah,
so.
But definitely it's on an upward trend.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, I don't, here's the thing for me. It doesn't have the highs to the level of them, like the Backstreet Boys thing and the Coney thing, but it is consistently really funny this week. And I definitely am super back on board with the show and the comedy and the fun and the mystery. And it's like these characters, it's to the point where you're just like watching, you're liking the characters, but you're like cartoon characters.
Oh yeah.
And that's fine. And I think it's a lot of fun. So let's dive in, shall we?
Yes, we shall.
All right. So we have semi-chronological discussion points going on here.
They're back.
All right. So we start off, obviously, the Chanels found the body. And the dean wants to hide, you know, the puss man's body. And
puss man.
The puss man's. I read it as puss. The puss man's.
Again, topical.
Puss man's body in the swamp, and basically she doesn't want the Cure Institute to be shut down. She doesn't want it to be clear that there's a serial killer because people will stop coming and then she'll die.
This is continuing to be very, very stupid.
See, no, I actually somewhat like this. I think that it makes sense for Dean Monk to feel this way.
Right.
It's a complicated thing because assuming she has a greater reason other than just her death, to want the place to be open, then I think it makes sense that she will do whatever it takes to keep it open and that she doesn't trust other people to do the investigation anyway. She'd rather just do the investigation herself because the cops suck.
Right. Which they do.
It's totally, like, it's annoying ludicrous, not fun ludicrous, because at this point, she knows what her diagnosis is. If it's really all about saving herself, then we don't need to bring in patients to get killed. Just, you know, put everybody on you and saving you, or just go to other doctors who are actually good doctors.
Yeah, so that's the thing. Her whole premise is, no one has diagnosed me, no one can figure out what this is. Okay, you know what this is now.
Yeah.
So go to a neurologist, not freaking med students and a candy striper, you know?
Like, and even at this point, maybe, like, I could understand wanting to bring, like, Brock and maybe Zayday, because she was the one who diagnosed you, around to other doctors. Like, they can help. But, like, why are the Chanels? So there has to be, in my mind, there has to be an ulterior motive that we don't know about yet. But who knows?
I'm less positive on that.
But it'll be so annoying if there isn't.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, I do think that it was interesting bringing the body to the swamp, very reminiscent, obviously, of the flashback to 1985 that we started out with.
Mm-hmm.
And I was saying to you, I still feel like it's possible that Dean Munch was the woman from that original moment, even though we saw her, quote unquote, die.
The nurse.
Yeah, the nurse. Even though we saw her die in 1986, you never know, maybe she survived it somehow, and that's when she went on her spirit walk to Asia or whatever, you know?
Her timeline is fuzzy.
Yeah. So I'm still sort of expecting that, but we'll see. All right, so then we move over to the Jumping Frenchman of Maine, and
what's his name, Randy?
Let's go with Randy. So Randy is cured. He's all excited about how cured he is. He snaps around. It's not affecting. He turns the lights on.
Tries to scare himself.
Yeah, it's really good. And then he gets confronted by the Green Meanie, and he's like, oh, it must be a test. Oh, I'm not freaked out at all. This is great. And then he gets all killed and shit.
He gets slashed maybe like four or five times.
Yeah. The first time he's like, whoa, I'm totally cured.
Like, well, and the second time he's like, that hurt. The first one didn't. What?
So what did you, you said you liked this one.
Yeah, well, you'd said, oh, I wish they'd used him better.
Yeah.
And my whole thing is, oh, it seems like they were setting him up to be afraid and already jumpy when he'd be murdered.
Yeah. Because
they knew he'd be murdered. Like, he was murder fodder.
Yeah, for sure.
So it was funny how they, you know, kind of don't match our expectations in that he's not extra scared. He's actually the opposite. He's cured of fear in a lot of ways.
Yeah, see, I mean, I just thought they set up for me that they set up a very, you know, very clear thing that, yes, it was clear, but it was also seems like it actually happening seemed funny and original, which is a boy who cried wolf sort of thing of they just assumed, oh, he's still, you know, he's still not cured. That must be why he's screaming.
Mm.
But so they could have had him get cured, then had the first hit, and then he freaks out and starts screaming and run away, and he's not dead yet, but nobody comes to help him because they go, oh, that's happening again.
Yeah.
You know, so, like, I think that would have been a little funnier, but I still thought this was enjoyable, and I liked sort of, it was just one of the more viscerally gruesome, just very slashery, violent scenes that they've had. So
Definitely. Yeah.
Also, that just reminded me. So at the beginning of the show, they always have those warnings about, like, violence and sexual situations and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I guess I was going to say, was the sexual situation just that we had Three and Cassidy on the bed just basically kissing, but then I remembered it must be the orgasm thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I was like, it didn't seem like the Cassidy thing was particularly, you know, lascivious.
Yeah. No, it was all of that.
Yeah.
It was the premise of the patient.
Yeah.
Which, do you want to get to the patient now? Or
no, let's just keep our order we have written here. So Chad, so after they realize that more and more people are dying, they know that Randy is missing.
Mm-hmm.
And, Chad says it must be Holt. He has the hand of a killer. And
he outs him.
Yes. He outs him as having the hand of a killer. So, you know, the Dean doesn't believe that means anything, but she doesn't want it getting out. So she's like, you either have to get fired or have to get a new hand. So bringing us our title of the week, Handidates. So this is kind of fun. And Chanel has a moment here because the two guys continue to be fighting over her.
Right.
And
one is wealthy and one is rich.
Yeah.
Yep.
And that was really funny. And then we have her, so a sort of classic Chanel thing of like almost growing up and being a positive feminist icon. And then clearly by the end of the episode, just totally reverting.
Not an icon.
Well, you know, like a potential, not an icon, but just like a, you know, a positive role model, you know, like of being like,
I would never in a million years call.
I'm not saying she is one, but just like saying,
aspiring to be.
Saying the things that would be the positive feminist role model things and then totally dialing it back. So like point, sort of like when we had Brock last week being like, that would be totally misogynist, but Chanel's worth it.
I was thinking more in season one, the cafeteria fight scene.
Well, yes, that. But also like there were numerous times in season one that I remember we complained about where Chanel would almost have character development and finally step up to, you know, stand up to Chad or have a declarative speech. And then 5 seconds later, she'd be back to being a whiny, like, oh, Chad.
Yeah.
Like, and so it hasn't happened that much yet this season. So it didn't bother me as much as it did last year. But there is just, I just don't really understand. It comes back to this whole thing that I never understand the commentary they're going for. Because it's like, because I know that, I mean, I assume that Murphy believes that it should be, like, in a not crazy world like Scream Queens, that it should be that the girl can choose herself and stand up and not have to choose one of the two men. I assume Murphy thinks that.
Yeah.
And so he's, like, pointing out it's almost, I guess he's, like, being like, that should be what I'm saying, but this world's crazy. So, like, I'm going to point out that's the real thing, but I'm not going to do it with these characters because they're not there yet.
Kind of like he does with the healthcare system.
Yeah, it's just confusing.
Education and everything. Yeah.
It's very difficult to critique.
So
then we have our third shower scene of the show every episode.
Yeah. 3-4-3. 3-4-3.
Really funny. I can't believe they're doing a shower scene with John Stamos every week.
Love it.
It's so good.
And not just because like he's in good shape and it's nice to look at him, but
but he is.
Not denying that.
Handidates.
Yeah. Ew. but also just the fact of like that is an objectively hilarious.
Yeah.
Premise to include in every episode.
Yeah, no, I don't want to jump ahead too much with Chad's fate, but do we think this is the end of John Stamos shower scenes? Yeah, okay.
Because we didn't have Chad in episode one.
That's true, that's true.
And we had our first shower scene.
Well, one can only hope that Cassidy is involved next week.
Ooh, baby.
okay, so, yeah, where were we?
Well, Chad is airing out his scrote.
Bro. Oh, yeah, he is.
Or is it bruh? I don't. That's kind of worse, isn't it?
Oh, man. So that was just, they're just great. They're just, I have no much, nothing else to say, but like, love these scenes. Cat is great.
The confrontation.
Yeah. Brock over, is great.
It's just, over Chanel, of all people.
The greatest prize of all.
Everyone's in love with everyone in this episode.
It's really true. All right. So we have our patient we alluded to earlier, Orgasm Lady.
She has a name. We don't know what it is.
And the name of her diagnosis also has a name. Don't know what it is.
Pretty sure it's a real thing.
I'm pretty sure it is, too. I could have sworn that I've seen like news reports about this.
Yeah.
And that it does ruin people's lives.
Oh, yeah.
Because they can't, like, they can't interact with their kids easily. Like, it sounds awful.
And I wonder if the cure they find for it is actually how it's fixed in part.
Well, I guess the question, too, is if it's supposed to be incurable diseases, like, I don't know if it is cured, and I don't know if we have a solution in real life.
I don't know.
So I'm not sure.
I didn't feel like doing the research. I'm not feeling so hot today.
If people know, let us know.
Yeah.
So that reveals, the big reveal is that number three has never had an orgasm. He just thought that you make those moans to tell people to get off of you.
That's great.
Poor
thing. Missing out.
So I thought that was a fun little reveal. And we're getting into this. I mean, I remember at the beginning of, like, around this point in season one that we were getting all these little things of, like, weird little reveals. Like, Chanel was the daughter of a murderer. Was she the daughter of a murderer? No. What was it? She has some weird connection to a serial killer. Remember?
No. I don't.
I think she is the daughter of a serial. Remember her, like, mom met him in prison or something?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's someone famous, someone real. Man, our memories are terrible. We're so good at podcasting, guys.
Sorry, guys, if my energy isn't, like, super high.
Yeah.
Letting Dan take the lead here. I feel kind of crummy all of a sudden.
But just little things like that. And, you know, we get into this year's version with Cassidy, who says he's dead. Because he woke up with vomit on him, and he must have died. He must have choked on his vomit.
He was drunk, and you're not supposed to sleep on your back if you're drunk, because you might choke on your vomit.
Yep.
And he woke up with vomit on his face and on his back. Yep. Therefore, he must have died from choking on his vomit.
I just love, like, the comedy in this scene especially is really on point. These two actors, Billy Lord and Taylor Lautner together, are gold.
We haven't seen much of number three this season. Yeah. She hasn't had, I mean, we've seen her. She hasn't had much to say.
Yeah.
So it's been nice to actually have her be a focus in this episode.
Yeah.
I like their conversation about Hamilton.
No, my God, that was so good. And I don't even care about Hamilton. It was still really funny.
I do. just like, orgasms are the one thing everyone can agree on is great.
Yeah.
Until Hamilton. And then that was really great.
And then also, so he goes, you know, I'm dead. He tells the whole story, and he goes, you know, I'm cursed to walk the world forever and eternity. And Chanel's like, that must be kind of a major leap here. How do you know you're not just dead?
And at first I'm like, good for you. You're calling out that this is a major leap in logic. Never mind. You think he's just dead. What?
Oh, so good.
But additionally, he decides that it's his mission in life to help her learn how to feel again.
Yeah, and that must be what breaks the curse, you know, what? Beast style, oh, Beauty and the Beast style. So that's a thing that happened on the show.
It's bonkers. It's
so crazy. I mean, I love how, like, the insane stupidity of him just believing automatically he must be dead, but then also still being smart enough to be a doctor.
Get into medical school in the hope of a cure.
Now, I also think there is an inconsistency here, which I wonder if it's on purpose, of in season, and not season, in episode one, he says that he decided to be a doctor to help people because his family got bad treatment and stuff, and he wanted to, you know, be a good doctor for people. And now he's saying it's because he needs to cure himself.
Well, this was a secret.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm wondering. That's wondering if it's both, or if he was lying before and it was secretly this.
We'll see. Yeah. Honestly, it could just be an inconsistency, yeah. And that would be not surprising either.
Well, I think the most likely thing is that was his. That's the nice thing he tells people because he's not going to tell them the truth.
Probably, but yeah. What I'm saying is I don't think they're going to go back and correct it explicitly.
Yeah, well, the only reason I'm really stuck on this is because I thought it was a potential clue to him being connected with the baby and everything, being like, my family had bad medical treatment.
I think that was a red herring.
Yeah, it's very possible for sure. All right, so moving on from that amazingness.
well, before this, we skipped it. The Chanels and Dean Munch went to visit Hannibal Hester.
Yes, yes. And she gave them a secret clue about Ezrin.
Because Chanel's skin looks dry, and that is not acceptable to Chanel to have dry-looking skin.
I also, that does remind me that scene where they first saw Hester, and then leading in this scene with the Scrabble, they had some really solid stylistic techniques this week, you know, very reminiscent of season one, with just the use of the sound and the sudden, you know, the punches in, the sudden, you know, slamming the stuff on the glass and Chanel freaking out and the slow motion thudding, massive thudding of the Scrabble pieces.
Yeah.
And we had some good stuff later on, too, which we'll get to.
With Chad.
Yeah. So.
Holt. Yeah.
Good stylization. Also, I just thought of the whole Cassidy believing that he's dead thing almost reminds me, it's similar humor to Glee with Finn believing that he can get a girl pregnant from him ejaculating in a hot tub.
Yep.
You know, just
that'll
like...
boil your sperm, young man.
Oh, man. All right. So they get sent to Ezrin because of the combination of Scrabble and Hester. And
yep.
They meet this nurse.
And Zayday, of course.
Yes. Zayday's superb deductive reasoning. the nurse, they meet this nurse guy. What was it? Do you remember his name? Lynn, maybe you
Lynn
called
him? Something.
Yeah. So he sort of fills them in on some of the backstory, you know, catching them up to things that we knew, kind of, as far as, you know, all the deaths that happened in the past, how it was connected to the year before,
woman with a baby.
Yeah, potentially, is it the woman? Is it the baby? You know, what's going on? He got a phone call from a threatening voice that he thinks is female.
Mm-hmm.
So lots of little nuggets here. I assume that at some point we'll find out this person is dead.
Lynn, yeah. Yes, yeah. I'm assuming he's going to get murdered, yeah.
One can only assume. So he thinks it might be female, but then after that, they have the dean and everybody have a talk about it, and the dean thinks it must be a guy because they're 6 feet tall, and that maybe it's the kid, and that kid would be about 30 years old. So they're saying, is it Cassidy? Is it...
Chad,
is it Chamberlain?
Yep.
We get a little hint of Zayday being like, what? It can't be Chamberlain. And I'm like, is there a romance brewing?
So one of the things of note here is that they bring up that the original Green Meanie got its revenge the following year to the death of the husband.
Mm.
You know, the revenge happened on Halloween night 1986.
Why are they continuing to kill now?
Why all of a sudden? Yeah. Why now? Why the patience?
Yeah.
You know, I feel like that's kind of clear, but maybe not, because later the doctors are fine.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, okay, so I think something it might be a red herring, it might be me overly reading into stuff, but so they bring up that, you know, I think it's Zayday or Denise maybe brings up the whole idea of, you know, why are the killings still happening now?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing that makes the most sense. But then Dean Munch is like, I think it makes sense because, you know, like they want the hospital shut down. What better way than, you know, but
scare away patients.
Why would they? Here's the thing. Why would they care about the hospital? And I feel like Dean Munch is trying to hide behind that idea.
Mm-hmm.
And I still think that the attacks are happening to hurt Dean Munch. And, that's why I still think the Dean Munch is connected to the past.
And I hope that's true.
Yeah.
I hope that's true.
Yeah. Okay, so Holt is off the hook with
He's
too old to get that surgery. He's a golden oldie.
To get that surgery.
He's too old. He doesn't need that surgery. Well, yeah, I misspoke. He doesn't need the surgery because he's too old. He can't be the killer. He
doesn't need to have
his hand removed. Yeah, because he can't be the killer. Yes. He's not 30.
No. But Chad is. Chad was held back in the second grade for 8 years.
So good. So beautiful.
The actor in real life is like 27, I think.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he is closer to 30 than like 23, yeah. You know? So...
so good. Yeah. So then they have this face off, another Chad Holt face off, and you know, Holt's like, I'm gonna get that girl, I'm gonna marry her, yo. And Chad just
word for word, Dan.
I'm
Bravo.
Just a lyricist over here.
Yeah.
And so then that gives Chad an idea, and he goes and he proposes with this mariachi band and an amazing prenup, which you know,
instead of an engagement ring.
I know they were trying to speed through this whole thing, but I'm surprised we didn't get more about that prenup. There's comedy gold in mind in that prenup.
I mean, I agree, but you really want your legal team to look over that. Yeah. So your imagination can kind of run with that. On top of this sweet, very stylized, sunny moment, there's Holt dressed in black in the shadows.
And just the... This is like one of the best stylized moments of definitely of season one, one of the best of the series, with just the slow-mo of the mariachi band coming around. Mm-hmm. And then like as each time they go around from Chad's angle, you see Holt larger and larger, closer and closer.
And then closer to Chad. And
the slow-mo going and the music. It's so good. Really great moment. Really funny. Really, you know, got nice like forebodingness, but also just hilarious.
Like, how is this foreboding?
Yeah.
But it is.
Oh, so good. I still don't think Holt's really that bad, but we'll see.
Well, he has the hand.
Yeah. But, yeah. I mean, I think he'll do something bad, but I don't think he's, like,
responsible. Yeah.
Maybe he'll be able to reform the hand and use its killing powers for good to stop the bad guy.
Maybe. Could be. But I just mean to say, I think he also is developing a bloodthirst.
Yeah. So, yoga stretching for douchebags, as we all know.
So, here's a funny thing.
Oh, the yoga thing.
So, we're watching American Horror Story. We decided not to continue podcasting until the recap of the season in, like, 5 weeks or something.
Yeah.
But point is, one of the main characters in this season of American Horror Story, she's a yoga instructor.
And a douchebag. No, she's not really.
She is kind of a douchebag.
She's a little bit of a douchebag.
She's, like, kind of, not spacey, but, like, you know, alternative.
Oh, my.
And, not like that. Not sexually alternative.
Yeah, she is.
No, not really. Anyway, so that's funny that in another Murphy show.
Yeah, that is pretty great.
He has her.
And then in this one,
it's like yoga is stretching for douchebags. And it's like, well, she is kind of a douchebag, at least early in the season.
Oh, man. All right. So Cassidy, you know, makes Three do this yoga pose so that he know how the patient ended up this way.
Mm-hmm.
And he figures it out what the issue is. He fixes the patient. And then we get into this crazy sequence of them, like, making out in front of the patient. And the patient's like, what?
Yeah. And then you even ask, like, are they still in front of the patient? And right at that moment, it goes to the patient looking confused and trapped on the examining table. Like,
really
What's happening right now?
And so then we cut to this whole thing with the music being off and all Three's issues with the music.
Which are actually her issues with him being cold.
Oh, cold.
And dead.
Cold-hearted. So then we find out that he is 60 degrees internally. And so one can only assume that eventually they'll figure out this is they're diagnosed this.
Yeah.
That there's some weird issue with him.
He's not dead.
Yeah. Or is he? Probably not.
Or is it a Twilight tie-in?
I almost, like, do you think maybe they should have gone, like, actually supernatural this season?
No. I mean, they might still.
Yeah. I mean, I guess that kind of undermines the whole whodunit aspect.
I'm not interested in that. Yeah. That's what I go to American Horror Story for.
That makes sense, yeah. All right. So then we have the Bowtie Bros.
That's how Dan titled this scene.
Chad is worried that he'll cheat on his wife because he's made to fuck. That was his purpose in life.
They didn't say that, obviously, because Fox, but yes.
Made to fuck.
He might cheat on her with someone in IHOP.
Yeah. I mean, I thought this was a really solid scene. I mean, and especially knowing how the episode ends, I think it was purposely written this way.
Oh, yeah.
To sort of encapsulate who Chad is, and also a little bit of his growth, where he's still Chad and he's still like, I'm totally going to fuck people. There's no choice here.
Yeah.
But he actually does care what happens to her. He doesn't like the idea of cheating on his wife. But yeah. He's also like, I can't leave her at the altar. That's what they do on Grey's Anatomy.
Like other movies.
Yeah.
He also says, well, I know the second marriage is the one that's going to stick.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, so good.
And Holt will come and pick up Chanel.
So go watch the Chappelle
Scream
show.
Scream Queens with Dave Chappelle instead of Emma Roberts. I would love that. So, yeah, he'll be there to pick up the pieces and whisk her away after the failed marriage attempt from Chad.
And I did like, even though I don't think either of us really thought that Holt was going to do anything bad here, I did like the buildup of him almost choking and then almost choking with the bow tie. Yeah. And, you know.
Well, that was very stylized and ominous as well.
Yeah. Okay, so then we have the patient about to be discharged. And another great stylized moment of flinging the, what was it, like a little sickle or a scythe? I don't know. I think it's a sickle.
I don't know.
And chopping off the head and the head spinning. He really likes beheading people, this guy.
Oh, yeah.
It was just, that was really crazy.
He slashes Chamberlain.
Yep.
Pops the balloon.
Yeah.
But I also, balloon.
But my main thing though, I'm still stuck on the beheading because it was kind of delightful in that it like
I'm giving Dan a weird look right now.
It was delightful. It was just like a really interesting where it really like even though it was gruesome, it really was just funny.
Yeah,
you know, like like the gruesomeness was really secondary to just how ridiculous this was.
Yeah.
And yeah, he does slash Chamberlain, which I actually, when it first happened, I was like, oh, Chamberlain's dead
already.
Yeah.
This is a bloody episode.
But this, no matter what, this is still a pretty bloody. Oh, we got like
it is.
Two, maybe three deaths.
But I would be worried if he was killed. I'm like, but we're running out of people to kill later.
Yeah.
I'm just realizing something. I'm sorry. It's about the previous scene.
Yeah.
But didn't Chad wear a lot of bow ties in season one?
Yeah, I was thinking that too.
Okay. He knows how to tie them. Yeah.
This is old fashioned, though, he said.
Oh, okay. All right, continue. Sorry.
Maybe he had like clip-ons before.
Ooh. 30 years old and you can't make a bow tie.
You can't make a bow tie.
Whatever.
So Chamberlain isn't dead, and then the big thing is the killer doesn't go after Zayday.
And she's ready to fight back, too.
So interesting, it is sort of reminiscent to me of last year with Zayday being, like, you know, whisked away and not, instead of killed, she was kidnapped,
Like,
I do wonder, I mean, I thought that was interesting because earlier in the episode, I was starting to be like, maybe Zayday is the killer. Like, both because, like, there would be a humorous thing there with Denise being right. But also just, like, she has reasons to hate Monk. You know, like, I can, and especially also because there's so much connection with Hester knowing everything.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, if it was Zayday, Hester knowing that it was Zayday and being to, like, predict that it must be Zayday or something kind of makes some sense.
Yeah.
Well,
it's definitely not Zayday.
Well, unless there's more than one. I'm not going to totally lure her out.
Not saying she's not going to be up to something, because it would be hilarious if she is.
Yeah.
I don't think she's the green meanie.
Yeah. I will say, at the moment, I do agree with you that it feels like there's only one killer. But maybe they're doing that on purpose. So who knows?
Maybe.
Guys. So Zayday doesn't get killed. And this is also the point in the episode where I was starting to be like, okay, killing the patients, as fun as it, like, as cool as it is to see all these killings happen, and as funny as some of them are, killing the patients over and over again is kind of boring.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's like they show up literally just to die, and like,
well, it's an opportunity for guest stars.
Yeah, but it's like, it kind of takes something away of the slasher aspect when none of the characters you actually care about are ever dying, you know? I don't know. And
really? You think none of the characters we care about ever die?
So, as I was saying, at this point in the episode, I was saying that because I was also just like, because there is something to be said about, like, this character shows up and you know they're dead and then you assume nobody else is going to die that episode because this is the person who's going to die. Like, that's kind of dumb.
Okay.
So then, you know, we're getting to the bigger reveal. But Hester is brought into the basement by Denise and Zayday. She has her crazy laugh as she tells them it's too late to stop the next murder.
Yes. And I like how Denise is like, that's creepy. Can you stop now? And she just doubles down on it.
Yeah, it's really great. I really enjoy Hannibal Hester. I am wondering how far they'll take this Hannibal thing. Do you think she will take someone's face?
I hope not.
I think that will happen.
That's gross.
I think she will escape. I think she will take someone's face.
That'll be funny.
I wonder who she'll take. That's the question.
Honestly, that'll be fine. Yeah. I guess I'm fine with that.
I feel like there's no way you continue to have her on all these episodes and not have her escape at some point.
Oh, no. She's definitely going to escape. Yeah. Don't get me wrong. I just don't know if she'll, like, steal a person's face.
I wouldn't be surprised if she had a face-off with Green Meanie and ended up getting killed by the Green Meanie.
Face-off.
Nice.
Were you aiming for a fist bump? Because I was not.
No, I was like, yes, point at you. You're good. Good job, woman. This is my girlfriend.
I don't know half that is going to be true.
I'm hyperactive and you're sick. It's working out great.
I really hope I'm not sick.
I hope you're not either, dear. All right. So then we get to the big ending with the red wedding of Scream Queens. And,
wedding.
It's adorable. And
I'm five in a dog collar.
I'm glad she wasn't on her hands and knees.
Thank God.
Yeah. And what else? Was there anything else we want to talk about with the wedding before? I mean, I think there were some funny expressions and things.
Why did Munch sneak in late?
Yeah, it's an interesting point. Oh, yeah, because I think the idea is, oh, did she kill Chad, I guess, is what they want you to think. But I don't think that.
No.
So, Chad, he's fallen through the ceiling. He's all bloodied up. So
it looks like he has his throat slit or something, or stabbed.
It's hard to tell exactly what happened to him. I don't know if people know the definitiveness of this. If we know for sure that he's dead, if people know like that he's not in the next few episodes. IMDb makes it seem like he's dead, but IMDb, who knows?
Yeah, IMDb's wrong a lot.
So I'm gonna say this. I think in all probability, he probably is dead.
Yeah.
But we both talked about we wouldn't be surprised if he faked his own death to get out of having to marry Chanel.
Yeah. Like, I can't leave her brokenhearted standing there that I ditched her. Yeah. But if I'm dead...
then I'm not a dick.
Basically.
Yeah. So I think, I mean, that would be hilarious. I'd totally be on board for that. But I also think it's possible that I don't know if Glenn Powell maybe didn't want to come back full time. He wasn't in the premiere. If he just wanted to do, you know, reprise his thing and go out with a bang... and then sort of move on to other things. I wouldn't be surprised, especially because of how intense we had Chad in these few episodes.
Oh, he was extra Chad. Yeah,
and
yeah.
I feel like it would, like, if they knew he was going to die and they were like, we're going to dial up to 11 and, you know, he'll go out with a bang.
Mm-hmm.
If he's gone, you know, I think the show can make it without him. I think Brock is a nice somewhat replacement. I think Cassidy is great. I think three, you know, we still have plenty of great people. But I will sorely miss him.
Yeah. I just have my fingers crossed because I'm not saying I want him in every episode.
Yeah.
I kind of do feel like they need to leave room for others to grow.
Yeah, yeah. I just feel he's the star to me. He's the shining, you know.
He's the cherry on top of the murder sundae.
He's just the perfection. He's the best comedic character they have, I think. And even though they have other great people... I think the show would not be the same without him.
Yeah.
But, you know, if he is gone, I think this was a great episode to go out on.
Yeah.
And I'll be interested to see where we go from here for sure.
Yeah. Fingers crossed that he faked his death.
Yeah. That's my hope. Chaddy.
Chad, don't leave us. We love you.
Okay, so if you want to contact us in the future, we're going to get into some little feedback we got this week. But if you want to be part of it in the future, you can email us at thescreamcast@gmail.com. You can also go follow us on Twitter and leave us a tweet at ScreamPod on Twitter. Check out thescreamcast.wordpress.com. It has all of our old podcasts and things, MP3 form there. But you can also check us out on iTunes. Have all our podcasts there. We have our movie podcast, our MTV Scream podcast, our Scream Queens, our old American Horror Story stuff. And please rate us or review us on iTunes. That would be delightful. We would be thankful. Now we have a little bit of housekeeping. You already mentioned that we're pausing on American Horror Story. We're just a little bit too busy right now. Both of our lives are going a little crazy, so we couldn't really manage to do two shows a week. But we are still watching, and I thought this week was pretty crazy, bonkers.
It really was. It made me nauseous.
I'm beginning to get more on board with this season. I'm excited to see where it goes next week. And like you said, we're going to do a season review. And then our other big thing is MTV Scream. There's the big two-part special, Halloween special this week. We're going to do a podcast on that probably like half an hour after it airs. And if you want to send in feedback for that at ScreamPod or send us an email, that would be great. And we'll try to include it. Hopefully people can get some stuff in quickly. And so look forward to that. And also very happy to say that season 3 has, you know, is come to pass, and we're going to get 6 episodes with new showrunners. It'll be very interesting. We'll talk about that more on the special.
Yes. Yeah.
All right. So you want to read this one tweet we got?
Yes, I do, sir. All right. It is from @WooshDannyH. Another Woosh. Insane episode. A bit of plot moving forward and an interesting illness I'm sure doesn't exist.
I think you're wrong.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I saw it on like TLC, one of those cheesy shows. Hashtag Scream Queens, death of the series.
Certainly the most upsetting death they've ever had.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was the visual death of the series, but yeah. It was kind of cool
seeing the blood soak the ceiling.
Yeah,
no. Because he didn't actually seem that bloody.
Yeah. Mm. So it's interesting. We'll see. I hope that he faked his death. Please. All right. So, I don't know. Again, we didn't get that much feedback this week. I haven't been able to live tweet much lately because I've just been very busy, like I said.
And never watch it live. Yeah. So. Oops.
So hopefully we can get some more stuff from you guys going forward. Let's see. So we have the big Halloween special the Scream Queens Halloween special.
Uh-huh.
Oh, which actually we won't be able to live tweet Scream Queens this week either because Scream will be the same time.
Yeah.
So we have that. They have Scream Queens Halloween special coming up. It seems like there's going to be more deaths. I don't know. Do you think we'll get a non-patient death? It seems likely.
Potentially.
I wonder who could be next. I mean, it feels like the problem is that we really do feel like we're kind of at core cast, right?
Yeah, I mean, Chamberlain was attacked but not killed.
Yeah, so he's not going to get killed next week after he just got attacked.
No.
So it's like, I guess Nurse Hoffel could die next week.
She wasn't in this episode last week?
No, she wasn't last week.
This is episode 3. Yeah.
I mean, I suppose that she could become. I thought when they found the whole nurse thing with Scrabble,
I thought they were leading to her because it said Nurse Nasty, and I was like, Nurse Hoffel? No? And then we're all of a sudden in Florida.
Yeah, I mean, I could see her being the next candidate to die, but next episode seems a little too early for her.
Yeah.
So I really don't know.
Nothing's happened except she knows that Dean Munch has a disease. She's stealing pills and she doesn't like the Chanels.
Yeah. That's the thing. Is like, I don't think the Dean's going to die anytime soon. I don't think Zayday is going to die anytime soon. I would have thought maybe 5 could die, but because of what happened in the pilot, I don't think 5's going to die anytime soon.
Yeah.
And I don't think Hester, like, so I really, I guess Hester could die next week. But
Denise could die.
Oh, Denise. They could kill Denise. I don't think they're going to do Chad and Denise back to back. So
no.
It's confusing. Let us know who you think could die next. And as far as
theories.
Yeah, killer theories. This season is perplexing me.
Yep.
I really don't know where they're going with it.
Nope.
I mean, like I said, my biggest theory is just that the Dean is the biggest target and that they're specifically taking down the hospital because the Dean is the real person. But
maybe they're going to do what American Horror Story's doing and do a tone shift halfway through.
Yeah. Yeah. Who knows?
That's not a spoiler.
Yeah. I guess I don't know. Like, I also like, do you think at this point, do you think it is the kid, like the baby?
No.
Yeah. I don't really think it is necessarily. I feel like someone will be revealed to be the baby, but they're not going to be the killer.
There's that weirdness of the baby of like, it sounded like a woman, but they're tall enough to be a man. Or the swamp is androgenizing, and
I forgot about that.
And it was the dead husband brought back by the swamp.
Yeah, but that's just like not interesting unless he's secretly someone we know.
I don't know.
Like
he's Nurse Hoffel, I guess.
That'd be crazy. That's not out of the realm of possibility. But
is anything?
But I also that's true. I also think the possibility of the caller could be a woman. I suppose the caller could be the mother. And the killer could be the son. you know.
Yeah.
It's,
yeah.
Yeah.
I suppose.
I am perplexed. So let us know what your theories are. I don't know what the prevailing theories are out there right now. So please tweet us at ScreamPod. And someone just got a text. All right. Thank you, guys.
Podcast over.
Scream you later.
Scream you later.